Hello, friends. It's good deed time, and one of our favorite local good deed doers is CASA, Community Action Stops Abuse. And with us today is Amber Valente, Special Events and Marketing Manager. Welcome, Amber.
Hi, Nanette. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you've got a big event coming up on November 2nd. The Domestic Violence Awareness Scavenger Hunt follows Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October. Tell us a little bit about this event, and then let's talk about all the good things that CASA does.
Absolutely. So this is going to be the second year of CASA Scavenger Hunt, and it is a super fun event through downtown St. Pete. People create teams, and they do peer-to-peer fundraising all during October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It wraps up on November 2nd. So right now, it's really important to be, you know, supporting local businesses, and that's what the scavenger hunt is full of. It is local small businesses and organizations. Participants stop in, take pictures, do different challenges, all the while they're learning about domestic violence, they're learning about CASA, how they can help survivors, and they're just raising money and awareness.
That is wonderful. And the event kicks off at Welcome to the Farm at noon and wraps up at Goodnight John Boy at 3 p.m. with an after party. And there's even prizes awarded for top fundraising team, top scoring team, and best team costume. Who should they communicate with in order to register to be part of this or even become a stop on the hunt?
Yeah, so if they want to become a stop, they can reach out to me directly. If they want to register, they can go on to CASA's website, and there's a link on there. There's a link on our social media accounts at CASA Pinellas. And the link to the hunt itself is p2p.onecause.com/CASA. Tickets are $35, but we're running a promotion right now for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and they're 15% off with promo code DVAM.
Well, that is wonderful. So let's talk about what CASA does. I mean, I know that CASA provides free and confidential services to adults, children, and pets affected by domestic violence. This is, domestic violence is a growing issue. Tell us a little bit about the numbers and what the services are that CASA provides as a one-stop shop, basically.
Certainly. So domestic violence is a growing issue, and it's a widespread issue. Studies show that it affects 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men, and that 1 in 15 children will witness it in their lifetime. So it really does affect everyone. CASA is really unique because they're always innovating and growing their service offerings. 2 years ago, in October of 2022, CASA launched Florida's only Family Justice Center in our community, which is a one-stop shop. It can help survivors with filing police reports, seeing an advocate, a case manager, safety planning. There's childcare on site, medical care, mental health services. And so the Family Justice Center is just a really great way to remove barriers for survivors, and it can lead to more successful prosecutions and just an easier, safer healing journey for them. So that is actually a U.S. Department of Justice best service model for domestic violence. So it's really special. CASA was able to bring that to our community. And since launching, our outreach impact numbers have doubled with the survivors we're able to serve. So that's really amazing. Our emergency shelter is one of the largest in the state. It also has a kennel. It's one of the 17% of emergency shelters in the United States that have a kennel so that survivors don't have to leave their pet behind to escape a dangerous situation. We also have free legal services for restraining orders. We have community partners on site at the Family Justice Center that can help with other legal issues. So it really does do a lot to help the community and help survivors not have to re-traumatize themselves by telling their story over and over. They can just go to one place, get all the information they need without feeling overwhelmed.
And I think that when I spoke with you the last time, your director, she said that you have expanded your housing options, 8 different housing programs, some funded by HUD, some by the City of St. Pete. I believe that you got TD Bank invested in this.
Yeah, so we do have a variety of housing options. We were awarded TD Bank's Housing for Everyone grant earlier this year, which was a big chunk of money invested into our housing program. Last year alone, there were 851 survivors served through our community-based housing, and that does not include our emergency shelter. So we have rapid rehousing, transitional housing, permanent supportive housing, emergency rental assistance, and as I'm sure you know, affordable housing is a huge issue in our community and, you know, all over the country. So the fact that we're able to provide all of those different housing options is really great for survivors.
I also noticed on your Facebook that you were doing something very interesting, you know, becoming a better bystander. I think this is a really important program. And I see that on the 14th, you're going to do a virtual training session from 2 to 3. And you're going to learn, so we can learn the 5 G's of bystander intervention and how to safely support those at risk. Let's talk about that. How can you be a better bystander? Let's start with the avoid victim blaming.
Yeah, so I think not always intentionally, but people do sometimes say things to survivors that can make it sound like they're at fault for what they experience. So the most important thing for being a better bystander and, you know, being someone a survivor can come to is just active listening. You never want to say something like, well, what did you do to make them act like that? Or why would you stay? I would never let someone treat me like that. Anything like that. There are so many layers and factors and barriers in abusive relationships that it can be really, really tough to get out of there. It can be really tough to recognize the signs until it's too late. Abusers are master manipulators. So to just avoid victim blaming and come from a place of support is really, really important.
You also talk about being an active listener and listening without judgment, criticism, and or interruption. Tell us a little bit about empowerment. I think this is a really key thing to give the survivor choices and resources they need.
Absolutely. Casa Pinellas is very focused on the empowerment model, and that just means we are going to give survivors all of the resources and information available to them so that they can make the decision that's best for them. Because at the end of the day, no one knows their situation better than the survivor themselves. So we'll say, if you file a police report, this will happen, and you have the option to do this or this. If you do this, then this could happen. So we just lay it all out for them, and then we let them decide. So much of domestic violence is about power and control. So these survivors, when they come to us, they've been being controlled, and we want to put the control back into their hands, give them the opportunity to make the decisions that are best for them, but give them all of the resources they may need to do so.
And domestic violence does not discriminate. I mean, most people think of it as something for people who are at a poor income level or less education. In fact, one of the things that you all pointed out to us in our last story was it's across, anybody could come in to CASA and you will, you know, provide resources for them. It doesn't matter what your income, correct?
Absolutely. There's been people staying at our shelter who have a Maserati, who have a Jaguar. It's not about income at all. It's not even about gender or age. It really does not discriminate. It is such a widespread issue that anyone can be affected.
Well, thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit for a moment about domestic violence warning signs, Amber. Will you walk us through that, please?
Absolutely. There are a variety of warning signs with domestic violence, and I think it's really important for people to know, again, going back to the victim blaming, that it doesn't start out in the worst way. It usually leads up to that and ramps up to that. So some early signs can be extreme jealousy, possessiveness, isolation from family and friends. When an abuser gets a survivor alone, it can, you know, dwindle their resources and make them feel more stuck. So that's definitely something. And then in terms of like the jealousy, the constantly monitoring the phone, social media, email, threats, forcing you into sexual activity that you don't want, just anything that really takes away that power from a survivor. Financial abuse is a big one. Financial abuse occurs in 99% of domestic violence resources. So that can be controlling your spending, taking your money, preventing you from working, keeping you on an allowance, basically anything that takes away your ability to leave and to choose. And then, of course, There are the physical abuse, the hitting, stalking, harming you. Strangulation is a big one. If a survivor has been strangled just one time, they are 750 times more likely to later be killed by that same abuser. So strangulation is something that's really important. CASA hosted a strangulation training about a year ago for law enforcement, judges, state attorney's office, anyone involved, just so that they can really understand how much of a lethality indicator that is, so it can be taken more seriously in the court system and be charged as attempted murder. And so,
go ahead. No, please go ahead.
We just always want to, you know, let survivors know that escalating abuse may be an indicator that domestic violence could turn deadly. So if you're experiencing any of these warning signs, it's really important to call CASA, call an advocate, and make a safety plan.
So you mentioned other partners and training for other partners. And, you know, this is one of the things that I think is amazing about CASA. Your community partners include the State Attorney's Office of the 6th Judicial Court, Pinellas County Sheriff, St. Pete Police Department, BayCare, Gulf Coast Legal Services, Learning and Power, it goes on and on, and folks, we will list this in the article that will go with this. Developing those resources has been really like moving a mountain, right? And now I see that you've also expanded as of earlier this year to Ocala as well. Is that right?
Yes. As of January 1, 2024, Community Action Stops Abuse expanded to Marion County as CASA Marion and took over the domestic violence service contract there. There was a big need for services there, so we are the first organization in the state of Florida to do an expansion like that, and it's been really great to be able to step into that community and help them out. We've really been welcomed with open arms, and we have a lot of great community partners over there as well, the Ocala Police Department, Marion County Sheriff's Office, other nonprofits, children resources. We've really been embraced there.
Well, that is wonderful. How can people help CASA? First of all, of course, there's the store, and we all love to donate clothes there and to shop there and spend money. The scavenger hunt, which we mentioned on November 2nd. Volunteering, very important. Tell us a little bit other ways that people, you know, they can donate monies, they can donate cars, they can donate clothes, they can attend your events. How else can they support you, and what do your volunteers do with the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you mentioned, the CASA Thrift Boutique is located downtown, 1011 First Avenue North, St. Pete. All of the proceeds from that thrift boutique pour directly into CASA services, and survivors also are given vouchers. A lot of times they escape with just the clothes on their back, so they're able to go shop at the thrift store just to help their lives get back on track. We have a ton of great volunteer opportunities, volunteering, of course, at a thrift shop. We always are doing repairs. A lot of our housing properties did receive damage during these recent hurricanes, so having volunteers, you know, to help with the properties, they help prepare for events. They do a little bit of everything. We also have volunteers who are CORE certified, which means they've gone through special training, which is required to be a direct service volunteer. But those volunteers can work directly with survivors. They can help out in the Pinellas County court system, you know, read to the children in the shelter, things like that. And we also provide volunteer groups for, you know, local businesses wanting to do a give back day where they can come volunteer with CASA, and that's a great team-building opportunity for them.
So, folks, I have been talking with Amber Valente from CASA Pinellas. If you want to know more, please go to their social media, casapinellas.org. You know, finally, before we conclude our interview, the recent hurricane and storm and disasters in general impact domestic violence. Amber, please tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Disasters like hurricanes can really increase the risk for domestic violence because, like we were talking about, the power and control, when an abuser feels that control slipping away from them, their behavior can often escalate, and things like stress, housing instability, economic hardship can really exasperate that lack of control an abuser feels. So this can be an especially vulnerable time. I also think it's really important to note that issues like housing instability and economic hardship that a lot of Pinellas County residents are experiencing right now are issues that survivors face all year round. So it can really be impactful during this time. Even, you know, some studies show us after Hurricane Andrew in Miami, domestic violence calls to that community hotline increased by 50%. So the need is there, and I think all of Pinellas is really feeling the effects of this hurricane right now and, you know, the impact it can take. But our community has banded together, you know, like never before and really supported each other, which is so amazing. So if the community can support CASA and support survivors the way that they, you know, have been, it'll be so helpful and so impactful for our services and the life-saving impacts we can make in this community.
And let's give a shout out to your director. Tell us a little bit about your amazing director that has been leading this charge.
Absolutely. Loriana Forsyth has been with CASA for 7 or 8 years, I believe. She has a long history in the nonprofit field, and she really has grown and expanded CASA immensely in the past few years. She's added all the housing opportunities we talked about, multiple service sites, the injunction for protection legal team, which is restraining orders. Of course, the Family Justice Center was a monumental launch that happened under her leadership. We've won national and local awards. So she really has done so much to grow and expand CASA. And she still is doing that each and every day, is, you know, finding new ways that we can just raise the bar and serve survivors here even better.
Well, for Radio St. Pete and this episode of Good Deeds, we thank you, Amber Valente, for coming and talking with us about CASA, Community Action Stops Abuse. Find out more at CASAPinellas.org. Party words, Amber, for the community.
Well, like we always say at CASA, stand up to silence. Domestic violence thrives in silence, so just make your voice heard. If you can't, you know, donate a tender volunteer, follow us on social media, share our posts, share resources with family and friends, and together we can make a big change in our community.
Thank you, Amber, and for Good Deeds, we are thankful for CASA and for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nanette.